Good morning, love, or good afternoon.
Somewhat decent. This is little sleep.
Yes, you've been on auntie duty, you said, a brand new baby girl.
I'm so happy. This is like a tired glow, but I'm so insanely happy.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's a lot of family vibes right now, and you've been up, on duty. So I appreciate you taking the time, and spending this time with us. I know what your energy is, and I know how blessed and lucky we are to have you and to be in your presence. But if you want to maybe just share with our audience a little bit about who is Yumi, what does Yumi do, what is Yumi about?
First of all, thank you for having me. You know, I'm obsessed with you. I say this privately, but I'll say it publicly as well. I just absolutely love everything that you stand for, that you do. You have been so consistently you. Like, it's insane. You've been this way since I found you, and I'm so honored to know you. And anytime you need me, I'm there.
Yo, the feeling is so mutual. If you don't know, Yumi is like one of the last real ones. They don't make them this real out here anymore, and you are one of the last like real ones. So I'm grateful for you and to share the space. The feeling is very mutual. So
Absolutely. Well, if you are new here, my name is Yumi Jean-François. I'm the
come
founder
on.
and CEO of Flex and Fly, a travel wellness company that provides stretching, meditation, and yoga classes at the airport right before you fly out internationally and domestically. We also provide minimalist travel products. So essentially, everything we create is sustainable and ethically made
Come
for
on.
travelers. Okay,
Yes.
Black women make ethical products
Okay,
and
listen.
sustainable products.
And I love that
Girl.
you found this pocket for yourself with travel and wellness, which is, I think, going to be a super booming industry continuously in the coming years. So I love that you've secured that space. So dope. You're also known for, being the money queen, the make it rain queen, all things prosperity, abundance, no lack. You feel me? And we've talked a lot over the years around this topic. I think you and I are both really passionate about discussing money as a form of power, as a form of freedom, as a form of independence, as a form of opportunities, as a form of charity, in support of other people. So the talk that we're having today is about moving from a space of lack to abundance. And you were recently in the mentorship program giving a talk where you shared a lot about your past and your history. And I would love to, if you're open to sharing a bit of that story of where you came from, because people will often think, okay, a friend of mine told me that if you don't tell the story, somebody will assume one for you. So you better let them know what it is. So tell us.
Of course. And let me know, you guys, in the comments. Let us know if you can hear us, because I get a little staticky. And I'll turn off my mic when you talk, and vice versa, so that people can hear us if there's any issue. And sorry about the dog behind me, guys. It's a full house. Okay? It's not my
All
home. It's my
good.
sister's home. I am originally from Haiti. I was born there, so I always like to tell people there is a difference between the immigration, right? So I was born in Haiti. I was born there, and I came to the United States when I was 6 years old, and I've also lived in Paris. And I came from deep lack. I know people talk about poverty in a very specific way, right? Like money. But I'm talking about lack, where the idea of something being possible wasn't, right? Because I think people often forget that it is a privilege. It's a huge privilege to be able to believe. And sometimes when I talk about things, I think people think that I'm just talking about, oh, changing your mindset and that's all it. But because I've been in a circumstance, in a space where the lack was so suffocating, it was suffocating my belief, it was suffocating my my desires. It was suffocating my thoughts of actually there's something better for me that I know it works. So that's why I speak the way that I speak, because I only speak from experience. I don't speak about something I don't know. I don't speak Facts. About things that I haven't fully lived out. And so being born in Haiti, where, you know, your grandparents didn't even know what traveling really was, right? They didn't, like, why? You know, the only travel they knew was the United States. That's it, right? Or the fact that people would have to wake up at 2-3 in the morning just to get to work by 7 because they had to walk, right? Walking big hills, right? And then choosing whether to feed yourself or your kids. And like, I know that life. That life is a very real thing to me. And so that's why I have such a personal vendetta against lack, because I've seen what it's done to my country. I've seen what it's done to my people. Mm. And I've seen what it's done to me. Mm. I mean, it wasn't until in my 20s that I realized, like, ooh, I'm participating in my suffering. Mm. I gotta cut this out.
Let me pause you right there for a second and ask you, well, did something occur? Did something happen for you to have that realization?
Yes. So I used to be a professional backup dancer. So my background is in the entertainment industry. I was dancing behind celebrities, you know, just getting my little money. And if you don't know anything about that industry, like, the dancers are like the lowest. They always find a way not to pay us. Mm. They always find a way to make us work way more than we need to do, just off of the fact that we can say that we worked with a celebrity, right? But, you know, if you're not getting paid properly on tour, you're not able to take any money home, right? And living and having a life was really important to me. I was doing really well, thankfully, because I worked with a couple of artists that always hired me. And then I got management, and I transitioned into acting. So acting is really interesting, because I was auditioning and I was getting money, but it wasn't turning into what I wanted it to be. Like, I was making money, but I was just making money. And I realized that my passion in life was really more about being rich rather than being famous. I have no desire to be famous if I'm not rich. I have no desire. I don't want fame. I want money. And I realized I was being sold most of the time fame versus money. So that really changed my mindset. And I was like, why are they keeping me? Why are they keeping this from me? I know that it exists. I know I can have it now. Why is it still being kept away from me? What am I doing that's attracting this still lack? And so I said to myself, that's not going to work for me. That's not going to work. I'm going to go ahead and I am going to be who I know that I'm supposed to be, which was, I told myself, I want to be a person that signs checks for a living. I was like, I want to be the person that they're happy to see. Like, oh yeah, this is it. Take your check and go. Because I knew for me, that was something I was deeply lacking. And if I could do it for myself, then I would teach the world how to do it for themselves.
Wow. The comments is going up in the chat. This is so beautiful. Huge transition, right? From coming from where you came from to then all of a sudden being on tour with celebrities and then realizing, oh, wait a minute, it ain't all this hyped up to be. Who am I really? Like, what do I really want? What matters to me the most? That is a huge, huge mindset shift. And you talk so much about mindset when it comes to money. Where do you think people stumble the most in that space of transitioning from a mentality of lack into abundance?
I think money is a relationship, right? And I think most people don't have a good relationship with money, and so they stumble. And when you don't have a good relationship with anything in life, you'll stumble. If you're someone that feels like every time you have money, you have to spend it, that's not a good relationship with money. If you are someone, every time you have money, you feel like you have to hold on to it forever, that's not a good relationship with money. Okay, so that's two extremes, right? And I find that some people also don't understand that there's so much money in this world. a lot of people in this world are living like there's only a little bit of money. So I can only have this piece. I can only have six figures. I can only have like $200,000 a year. I can only have this. Meanwhile, there are so many people living very differently and are able to have a lot of it. And so money is also very uncomfortable for people to talk about because it's such a personal thing, right? Like, how much do you make? Did you get this? And people are like, wait a minute now? That's personal, right? And so we don't talk about money as if it is something that is a lifestyle. You know what I mean? It's more something to attain and grab and hold on to, which puts you always in a position where you always have to go and get, not receive. I don't chase, I attract, right? And so there's a lot of people in this world, when it comes to money, there's anxiety behind it. There's like, it's just not positive. And if you want anything in your life, whether it is your career, your love life, or whatever, you have to look at the relationship you have with it from the beginning, you know? And so I find that that's one of the biggest issues. People don't even recognize the type of relationship they have with money, because if they took the time and say, well, when I was 13, what was my introduction with money? Like, my introduction was my dad gave me $20 for the week to spend, right? And I was like, this ain't gonna be enough with the type of woman I am.
Listen.
I said, no, Dad. This money is not gonna be enough. So I got a job. I lied. I got a job at 14 when I was supposed to be 16 because I knew the type of lifestyle that I wanted. I already knew that I was someone that like really great things that last. I also knew that I was someone that I didn't want to be the only one that had and not be able to help my friends. So when I was in a circle, and if a friend of mine wanted a slice, I didn't want to have to share my slice. I was like, I will get you your own. And so I always felt like I needed to always have more than just enough. Immediately.
Come on.
A lot of people will ask for a number and tell God, like, if you could just give me this, I'll do the rest. Like, God doesn't need you to do the rest. Ask for what you want. But a lot of people are only willing to have and ask for what they believe they're worthy of.
Yes.
Right? So many people are like, I think I'm worth like $50,000. I can live off of that. I can live really great off of that. And so you put this limit and God is like, well, I see you in millions, but if that's what you want, like, that's what you will have. And if that job, and then you start finding yourself getting a job that's offering you $50,000. And so you're thinking things are aligned, and it is.
Right.
Because that's what you asked for.
Right.
Right? And so if you get into a mindset where you're like, you know what? What would it look like if I wasn't afraid to ask for more?
That's powerful.
What would that look like?
That's powerful.
I've been asking for more a lot lately, and girl,
Listen. I feel you on that. I wanted to touch back to.
It's looking real good out here.
It's looking beautiful.
I had no idea the amount of money I was leaving on the table. But I realized that I was leaving way too much money on the table. And so I told God, hey, God, have I been hiding? You know? Have I been asking for less lately? Because you get in different periods of your life where you think you're okay and you stop asking for more. And so it's okay to take evaluation, to ask yourself, hey, have I been settling the last 6 months? Am I too comfortable here?
A lot of people might feel guilty asking for more. What's your thought on that?
Well, that's a big thing with the relationship. Because when it comes to guilt, it always takes from you. I've never seen guilt give.
Come on. Yumi's in the house, in case you didn't know. Yumi's in the house. In full effect, live and direct.
Guilt be like, no. Let me retrain your brain. Nah, you don't deserve this. No, you shouldn't ask for this. You should just be grateful. You should be thankful you're here. You should be accepting this right here.
Right.
Guilt does not give.
Never.
It actually suppresses. It paralyzes.
It paralyzes.
And you think that you're ungrateful.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Come on.
And that's another mindset that literally continues to keep people from having the abundance lifestyle that they truly deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Abundance living looks like you asking for what you genuinely desire.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely know you're worthy of.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently. Because I think a lot of people have this thing, Angie also, where they think the faith that they started with is the faith they need to finish with. Your faith has to evolve.
Come on.
You understand? Your faith has to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a position in your life where you want to move out of an apartment, for example, and because you've been living with people all your life, and you're like, God, I just want to know what it's like to live on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying? The faith that you need to live on your own is not the same that you needed to live with those people.
Come on.
You understand? Your yes. faith has to grow. Your faith has to evolve. Or else God, whatever you believe in, the universe, is not doing its job.
Mm-hmm.
You're too comfortable.
And, you know, I think that I told my friend one time, she was working at this place that she hated. And I think that this is true for all of us at some point in time where we have to work until we can work and do what we want to do, right? But like, your employer is not the source of your income. Because I tell you right now,
it's a resource,
yes, but it is not the source. And so, you know, this is really important because if you go get fired today, you're going to find a job tomorrow or the next day, or you're going to be on it. And eventually you're going to need money and money's going to flow. So that proves to you right there that your employer itself is not the only source of your income. Your source is coming from something greater. And money really is energy. It's a currency, right?
Yes,
it's a currency. Yes. And when we think about a current, right?
Ooh, come on.
When we think about a current, we're talking about energy and motion. And so it is really dependent upon, so much of it is dependent upon your mindset, your openness to receive, your openness to ask, so that you can open that current, so that that currency can flow. And these things that you're talking about is the shift in mindset of knowing that you're deserving. And I want you to touch on worth versus value, because you started to get into it. Right? Because we, like you said, we may think and we're attracting opportunities saying, yeah, we in alignment. Okay, boom, I asked for a new job. I'm making da-da-da-da. Okay, I'm content now. And this is what I think I'm worth. But what about value? Because we're worth and value are two different things. So talk about that.
So for a long time, I used to think that, you know, at least the way I thought it, you know, I have this amount of money, like this is how they see me, you know, this is the thing that they want to give me. And I started recognizing that, you know, first of all, my worth is not based on what they offer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on what they offer ever.
Mm-hmm.
If you come into any position in life, you walk in any room, you go to any interview, you try to connect with anyone for any opportunity, and you do not know and believe that you are worthy of this moment, worthy of being in that space, you have lost that opportunity already. It doesn't even matter if they give you money. It doesn't matter because you are adding to every room you enter.
Come on.
Because if you don't know that when you enter into a space, you are adding rather than subtracting from it, everyone is going to find out. Everyone is going to find out, oh, you're not who I thought you were.
Mm-hmm.
You actually don't even believe what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that you say will always be tested.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's through people, whether it's through your relationships, whether it's through your work. Most of us have spent our times at work, you know, hours and hours, more than our families.
Mm-hmm.
We start putting that as the priority of things instead of recognizing that to live life is part of it. I always tell people, my life is my resume.
Yes.
When people ask me, what do you bring? What is it about you that's so special? I'm like, me. Oh, you need more?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't belong here. If you need more than me, then I don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
Because my life is my resume. Mm. My kindness is my resume. My ability to listen well is my resume. My ability to show up is my resume. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a lot of people in this world that often do a transaction, a monetary transaction financially for their worth. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But we all have value.
Right.
We all have value. The thing is, most people are living life based on what they think they deserve versus what they believe they're worthy of.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying? You think you only deserve this. So that's how you're showing up.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
But if you believe you're worthy, regardless, they're not even going to know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I entered the influencer world, girl.
Come on.
And I had a meeting with a brand, a very successful brand. I think you and I talked about this brand before. Remember it didn't work out before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now they want to do a Flex and Fly Times partnership. Remember when I turned it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking to this brand, and they're like, oh, yeah, we've been watching you. You know, you've grown so much. You've been like, you've just always been the same. We'd love to work with you, right? And my thing is, if you follow me on social media, I have been the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, a lot of people are catching up to who I've been. So you now thinking you're validating me by telling me, yeah, we've been watching you.
I already knew. Come on. I know.
Thank you. I'm going to take my seat. I'm so happy you caught up, because I don't think you guys understand the importance of consistently being yourself.
Come on, authenticity.
It is so incredible.
Yo.
If you are genuinely yourself, the right people will always show up. They will always come to you. They will always come back. Opportunities cannot miss you. It cannot miss you.
Come on.
But you're behaving as if you are going to miss out. This is the thing about the universe. You're confusing it. You're walking out here in this world confusing the universe. One minute you say, you know what? I believe I'm worthy of it. I believe I'm 100% going to get everything. I believe in it. And then one thing happened and you're like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. I knew it. I knew they didn't see me like this. I knew they didn't think and believe in me like this. I knew it. What am I thinking? And the universe was moving towards you.
Come on.
To give you exactly what you want. And then the minute you start acting like that, the universe is like, wait, she doesn't really want it.
Right. Right.
She doesn't really believe this. She was just telling herself this.
People don't understand, too, that the universe is amoral. The universe is amoral, and it's going to give you, there's a quote that says, "What you know, whatever, if you think you're good or bad, or if you're thinking good or bad, it's going to be true. It's going to respond to the energy that you are bringing." And I want to round this out and talk a little bit about, yes, what one of the comments just said, validation starts with self. So much of this and what you're talking about and being able to even be authentic, to continuously be authentic and attract certain types of people and things, comes from knowing who you are and knowing not your worth, but your value. And your value, like you said, is accumulation of your life experience, the things that you have done. And I think a lot of people will look at their story and not see it as a strength, or think about certain things that were their weakness, or things that happened that were fucked up, that actually are the very source of their strength. And so I think that acknowledging our story, acknowledging our life experience, and being able to say, yeah, I learned how to be resourceful. Yes, I'm super strong. Yes, I was able to navigate all of these different situations. I'm still standing after XYZ. I saw myself grow into this and grow into that and blah, blah, blah. So I think that you derive your value when you accept yourself and your story, and you recognize the power in your story. You recognize the power in your life experience, and that is your value. And once you can recognize that and be fully in acceptance of that, instead of trying to copy Sally, Jane, and Joe, you feel me? That is when your energy really comes alive, because you're not pretending to be something that you're not. You're being fully yourself. And I think that it's okay to voice certain things that you may think are shortcomings, or expose, like show people the rough parts, show people like the things that you struggle with, because people relate to that. It's real. And like you're, those things that you feel put you in a vulnerable position, they don't own you anymore. You know, when right. when you name them, when you own them, they don't have no control or power over you anymore. And so I always think of that clip in the 8 Mile movie when Eminem comes on stage and just disses himself like for a minute. And then the other dude didn't have nothing left to say. He took all the power away from the other person. And so owning our story, recognizing value in every part of our story, the ups and the downs, allows us to show up fully as ourselves. And when we can show up authentically, go ahead.
I think the tricky part about that, Angie, that I see a lot of people get caught up in, is that a lot of people aren't showing up as themselves. Mm-hmm. They exploit themselves.
Mm, come on.
You understand what I'm saying? So there's people selling the image of struggle, right? So like,
that's a whole other story.
Even if you have struggled, right? That's not a badge of honor. Nobody wants to struggle.
Yes.
Like, when we go through things in life, it sucks. You understand? That's why so many people in this world sometimes are so private about the things that they go through, because they know what it's like to exploit themselves and be exploited by others.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be very careful of when it is a time to be completely vulnerable.
Yes.
About the space that you're in your life.
Yes.
And say, hey, this is my story. I have given it to you. Do not feed on the story and make me this Mother Teresa of it, because I am way more than that moment in my life.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that I feel like that I've learned in life is that I am not just I'm not a period. I'm a constant comma. Right?
Yes.
A constant comma, and then, mm-hmm. where the rest of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are showing up as yourself, you need to stop putting periods.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I got periods. This is who I am. That's how I'm going to show up. This is my niche. This is what it is.
You're ever evolving.
Stop moving in life like that, because you know why? God, you don't leave any room for God to surprise you. It's just like you asking for just that $50,000 when it should be another comma, and another comma, and another comma. You keep putting a period. And I think a lot of people in this world don't know how to not put their life with a period.
Yeah.
Because we've been taught that the only way for people to believe you is if you're sure, is if you know, is if you're this, like this anxiety, this stress, this knowing. And to really know is to just show up the way you are in that moment, in that day, at that time.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% agree. You do have to watch who you're vulnerable with and use your discernment. Absolutely. But not allow those things to make you feel a way about yourself. And so what you just said here about, I lost my train. I lost my train, girl. I lost it. I lost it. I know.
She had this live while she's thinking about this. Yeah, she had this live because I see her loving it. This is what happened when me and her talk regular, okay?
Yes. The authenticity piece. Yes. Authenticity is so key because it ensures the quality of the things that you attract.
Yes.
And or not, right? So if you're it depends on where you at. So this is why that ever evolving thing is also important. But when you show up authentically and you show up as yourself, you don't have to do it twice, right? I don't have to come back and do that again because I was fully myself the first time. And so this is really key, because when you continue to show up authentically, you start to build a reputation. And because there is so, I think that a lot of folks, A, don't really know who they are. B, aren't showing up as themselves. C, are scared to show up as themselves if they do know who they are, because they're not sure how they're going to be received or accepted. And so it makes it really challenging. So being able to show up and show up consistently, it builds a reputation. And when you have a really strong reputation, it gives the opportunity for those type of emails and phone calls and messages to come through, and you can start to get flooded with those opportunities because you are standing authentically and you're able to bring in the things that are truly in alignment with who you are and what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that there was a time in my life where I was operating with a mask, And for a
Yes.
long time, I didn't want people to see me. And I didn't realize how I was living from lack in that way too.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you don't fully show up as your full self, you're living in lack.
Yeah.
You understand?
You're leaving something out.
Abundance is abundance. It means in its fullest. You understand? So you as an individual, it is your responsibility to show up as your full self, even if it's ugly.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? Even if it is not cleaned up and not the best and not sure of itself and unaware, like, it is okay to be in that. Like, I swear to God, the last 2.5 years of my life, I don't even know who I am. I'm just like, what is happening? I thought we knew each other. Like, you know, I turned 35 years old. Yes, I'm 35, you know.
Me too. Me too. We out here.
I turned 35 years old and I was like, oh my God, there's a lot I don't know.
Yes, girl.
Again, I gotta pass this test. You know, and I think when I'm
yes.
honest with my supporters and I tell them, I'm struggling here, or like, I want you to know what's happening in my life here, or when I show them behind the scenes of my business and what's happening, and when people turn me down, I want them to know that aspect because I'm dealing with it. And there was a time in my life that I didn't deal with it very healthily, right? I would go and eat really poor food, which is a reflection that I had to learn of where my mental and emotional state was. And whenever I eat really poorly, I recognize the lack in my life. Whenever my home is completely filthy, because it is a sign of sometimes anxiety and depression.
Girl.
I'm like, oh, something is off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know in the comments, do you guys recognize something in your life where there's lack or there's an issue? Does your home get dirty? Can you not keep your room clean? Do you need Popeyes as much as I do?
Listen. It's good to recognize those signs. It's good to have a like for me, I know when my nails and my toes start looking crazy and it's overdue for the mani-pedi, I'd be like, all right, bitch, you neglecting yourself. Get it together. You know, when the house be looking crazy and it's a bunch of clothes piled up and all that, I'm like, okay, you know, let's come back to center. Something's off.
That is a form of lack, guys. So when we talk about lack in abundance, you have to look at it outside of financial.
Yes.
You have to look at, because it all starts here.
Yes.
What have I been thinking that has prevented me from picking up that shirt in the last 2 weeks?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What have I been thinking that has made me feel the only comfort I can feel is through fried chicken right now?
Yes. Yep.
It goes so much deeper. Because what happens is there is something that you are literally nurturing, nourishing, pouring water into daily that's keeping you from the abundant lifestyle that you truly deserve. You know that you're worthy of, and you know you can get back to, but something has happened where you have been shifted, right? And now all you can do is find a little spot in your room to keep clean, find a little spot in your house that's not fried, you know, something in your fridge that's not fried, and just eat that to make you feel better.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like yourself. You feel like something is off, but you don't know what it is. You don't know how to fix it. You don't know what's going on. And I want you to know that is a lack mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just financial. Finances is the biggest form of stress because you have immediate responsibilities every month.
And consequences, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you got to look at, you see it. It shows up. Someone is knocking on your door every month to show you that you have to be held accountable.
Right, right.
With other stuff in your life, if you don't have guests, they won't know.
Right.
Right? Because a lot of people sell images on social media. Mm-hmm. If you're showing a picture of a salad, it's someone else's salad. Who's
Come on, because we know what happens, okay? Out here fronting.
Yeah. But in the meantime, you eat a Popeye's chicken sandwich and you're like, I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
And lack looks like lack in belief of that you're deserving of love. Lack in the fact that you'll ever fall in love again the way you thought you have.
Mm-hmm.
Lack in the fact that you probably won't have children or kids, or like, it goes so much deeper than money. But the reason why so many of you guys focus on money first is because your relationship with money is complicated. It's never been full of clarity unless you worked really hard for it, unless you know you had savings, unless you know you had this type of stuff. You understand what I'm
yes.
saying? It's never been a peaceful transaction. It has always been, if I have to earn you money. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so for many of us, that relationship seems more important. But we're not really dealing with the root.
Right.
There's lack in your love life. There's lack in your finances. There's lack in your mental space. Lack will show.
Yes.
If it's not fixed here.
Yes.
It will inevitably
show up
in every single area of your life.
100%. It all starts with your mentality. I'm thinking of, you know, a time when I felt intense lack. And the transition that I had, like how I slowly shifted the transition as we start to move into, well, how do we go from lack into abundance? That's something that I had to build. We talked about this in the mentorship program, but this concept that sometimes when you're in that really low place, or you are experiencing heavy lack and you're realizing and you know that you are wanting to come out of that space, but your reality is not immediately reflective. Your life is not immediately reflective of the mentality that you're trying to shift towards. You have to build and grow again your self-worth and your sense of value. And I have found for me that a lot of that has come out of the work and the service that I've done for others, the work that I've done on myself. But I had to start doing things, taking action. And through these different types of action, whether it be establishing a certain thing that I do every morning and instilling some discipline, or being more on top of myself about my self-care, or, you know, I was working at the sushi restaurant, I was still coming home and working and being disciplined and working towards something. This is really big in you growing your self-worth, because as you do things, and I talk about low-hanging fruit all the time, reach for the lowest hanging fruit, whatever can help lift you up a little bit right now. You know, start with what you have and where you are, and that will slowly start to build momentum, help you feel more confident, more proud of yourself. You know, so instead of walking around with your shoulders all slumped in and head down, your chest starts to rise up a little bit, shoulder blades pull back. You know, you're walking with some pride because you have proved something to yourself. And it can start with something really small, like choosing one particular thing every day that you're going to do. Whether you say, I'm going to read for 30 minutes every day, or I'm going to go outside for a walk every day, or something, building some form of discipline. And this is important because you are training your mental, right? You're saying, I'm making the choice to do this, and then I'm following up with action. And that mind-body connection is huge. And it does something for your spirit. And this is why all of this is connected. Is this the same in yoga too? Mind, body, spirit, it's all connected. Make a decision as you're shifting your mindset and follow up with the action. That action is going to help you build your sense of self, your sense of worth, your sense of value. And from that place, you can show up more authentically. And when you're showing up more authentically, you can decide and attract the things that you want in your life. And they're going to flow to you so much easier because the resistance isn't there. Right? The resistance and the lack is fading away and dissolving. And there's always going to be, like Yumi said, I've also who the hell is this person at 35? I'm learning more and more about myself. I'm like, okay, more work to do. So it's never a period. Like you said, it's always a comma, but working from where we are, right? And building upon that place.
I love that you said that, because that's one of my favorite things in the world. One question I would tell everyone that's listening right now is, either in your journal or wherever, or just something to think about. The first thing I always ask myself is, what am I doing to participate in my suffering? So like, if there's lack and there's something off and I don't feel like myself, what am I doing to participate in that? That's not the same thing as you causing that, okay? Because some people don't listen. You have to listen. What is it? Because when something is ongoing and consistently going, you literally feel like, when will I catch a break? What is happening?
Right.
I know you deal with a lot of small business owners, and there's a lot of pride with certain small business owners that won't have jobs in addition to pursuing their passion with their small businesses. They'll quit their job. I'll give you a quick example. You'll quit your job and say, you know, I thought I was ready. I saved enough money. I'm going to do this full time. Please listen carefully. This is not to discourage anyone from quitting their job. I did it. It worked out for me.
Don't work. Hey, you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared, okay?
However, I know some people that are basing their success based on other people's stories.
Come on.
You understand? You out here saying you can be inspired by someone's journey of success.
Yes.
And you don't walk the same route.
Come on.
Some people in this world may need to stay at their job a little bit longer.
Yes.
While also
growing
their business.
Yes.
There is absolutely no shame in that.
None.
But I see there's a lot of shame in that. We live in this culture where you got to do it on your own. It's a me situation. It's a I did it on my own situation. Self-made situation.
Right, right.
Who in your life that you actually know is self-made? No one. The answer is no one. You don't need to think about it. I'll give you the answer. It's no one. No one. When you think of only and solo, it is the ego.
Yes.
There is all these people set apart to help you on your journey, whether it is small or big, whether you see it or not. There are people set apart to help you on your journey. That is the way of God in the universe.
Yes.
You are never alone, even when you feel alone.
Come on.
So there are a lot of people in this world, success looks like a destination rather than a journey. And so you look at other people's way of living. You see how they're being successful. You're like, you know what? It's time for me to just put it all in the pot and just quit and go. Don't listen, I have money. I'm going to tell you this right now. You need to pay attention to how God works in your life.
Come on.
You need to pay attention to what works for you.
Come on.
If you're living in one of the most expensive cities in the whole world, New York City, LA, and you're starting your business or you're in doing your business and you're feeling too shameful or too prideful to go back to a job or to get extra money, that is a way of participating in your suffering.
Yes, ma'am.
Hard truth.
Yes, ma'am.
This may be a hard truth for you.
I had to go back to this because I had done that. I had graduated from yoga teacher training. I immediately left the country to go teach abroad at a surf school. I came back, I was broke, I was struggling. I ended up going to get an office space. And I ended up, I was living in that office space because I was broke and didn't have no other income at the time. And I didn't want to rely or ask family, whatever, whatever. Mind you, I'm a person like you who walked up and decided I want to go get a job at 15. And before that, I would walk around the neighborhood, ask who wanted their dog washed. I had the lemonade stand. I was hustling from early. So that was a causation of a mentality that I had, a rigid and erroneous mentality that I had that was like, you decided to be a yoga teacher and an entrepreneur, so this is what it looks like. If you go get a job, that means that you ain't really a real entrepreneur. But I was so wrong. I was so, so, so wrong. And we're going to talk about this more at the end of the series with Nicole. But I had to, and I had a conversation with a friend, and I was like, you know what? I'm over here struggling. I'm 30 years old. I'm on food stamps, living in an office, showering in 24-hour fitness. This is not cute. This is not it. And I, like you said, had to take accountability and responsibility and decide, how am I going to get myself out of this situation? And I started to be resourceful, look around myself. Okay, boom, I ended up working at a sushi restaurant. I was driving Lyft. I started teaching yoga around town, doing all the things, you know, and that allowed me the financial stability to be able to be in a more authentic place with how I was putting out my offerings. Because the next thing now is that desperate? I need to sell these tickets. I need to sell out this event. I need this. I need y'all to buy this workshop energy. Like, I need y'all to, because if y'all don't, I ain't paying my rent type energy. It's not it. And there's nothing creative coming out of that type of energy, because you are stressed and pressed trying to make sure that you can eat some food. And don't put yourself in that situation. Go get yourself, if you need a 9-to-5, if you go into restaurant industry, whatever, driving Lyft, whatever you need to do.
Do what you gotta do.
Do what you have to do.
Participate in your suffering in that way. Because money, the reason why I say this is because I know a lot of us are in the wellness space too.
Mm-hmm.
Stress is the number one killer for a reason.
Come on.
And lack of money
mm-hmm.
brings a lot of stress.
Tons of stress.
When you are someone, and me, like, I don't have any real responsibilities in this world.
Yeah.
Right? And I love money.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any real responsibility. I don't have kids. You know what I mean? I'm not married.
Yeah, me either.
That form of family.
Right.
Same. And I am still very much like, okay, no. Like, because I know my business, like, my business Flex and Fly made the most money last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
2021. Mm-hmm. It's 2022 now. I know this because of the amount of taxes I had to pay.
Come on.
Okay? And because it changes. The tax bracket is really tough.
Come on.
When you're making money.
Listen. Listen.
And it pops.
It's a curse and a blessing, baby. It's a curse and a blessing.
And so when you're making that kind of money, and you're like, but you remember the first 2 years, and your accountant is like, do you see the growth? I'm like, yes.
Yes.
I'm like, I see the growth. I'm very happy. But I also know that my business is not my life.
Yeah.
There's so much more financial goals that I have that doesn't exist within my business.
Correct. Correct.
So for me, financially, I'm always doing certain things. Let me just tell you, it takes 7 different forms of income mm-hmm. for you to become a millionaire, mm-hmm. right? So if you are a brand new business owner, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are just an entrepreneur, and you have zero income. What is your goal?
Right.
What is your goal?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people this when I do business consulting and talk to them about these things, because I feel like a lot of people aren't talking the truth about this. What is your goal?
Right.
If you need to have a strategy, you need to have a plan. Year one.
This come on.
Learn the numbers.
Come
what
on.
Is this? What does it look like?
Come on.
What does it look like if I put out a product and no one buys it? What does that mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a form of lack.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is that going to do to your mental? What is that going to do to your spirit? And so this is what I would say. In addition to asking yourself, you know, how do I participate in my suffering? I would tell you, how are you with asking for help? Because lack keeps you from asking for help.
Listen, and this is something that I had to do in that time when I was sleeping in the office. I had to ask for help in a moment that felt like my absolute lowest and most vulnerable. I had to ask a friend if I could stay at her house a little bit of time, and I would cook and clean, and I would make her bed, and she was a friend, so I didn't mind, but that was a really humbling fucking experience. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
I had to ask. I had to really, really, like, put my situation sort of out there because I needed the help, and I helped myself as much as I could, but there were certain things at that point that I wasn't able to do. I had to reach out. And so that's really important to be willing to ask and willing to receive. And I also want to add and note that the time period that it took me, I was working at that restaurant for 2 years before I left my job. So I worked there for 2 years while I was building Afro Yoga whole time until I finally said, okay, it's time to go. And that was 2019 and I haven't looked back. But just also know that these things take time, and to be patient with yourself in the process, right? And to be gracious and patient with yourself in the process.
Because when you're trying to walk your life out of lack and into abundance, accountability has to be there.
Yes.
What am I doing?
Yes.
What can I do? How am I making money? Who can I ask for?
Yes.
Can I, hey, you don't have to ask your friends for money, but you can ask them, hey, if you hear of a job.
Yes.
If you hear for this, I'm looking for a new opportunity.
Yes. Yes.
I'm looking to start working for this area.
Yes.
Or if you want to stay in the same position that you're in, you could say, hey, I'm looking for a new yoga. I want to pick up some more yoga classes. Do you know any studios that are teaching and all that type of stuff? You cannot actually believe that real successful people in this world are not asking for help. Of mm-hmm. course they work hard, but they're asking for help. I ask for help every single day. It's my favorite thing to do, y'all. Listen,
come on.
I have no problem asking y'all for help, and I don't even know y'all.
And you know what?
I love asking for help.
And you know what? I think that also some people get it wrong in asking for help, because you also offer something of yourself. You get a lot farther by offering than by asking. And sometimes, yeah, like if I say, yo, can I stay at your house and I'm going to do these things for you in exchange? And those things don't have to be monetary, but I would try to bring some groceries in there. I would make sure that the bed was made. I'd cook, I'd sweep, I'd make sure that the space was looking good, so there could be an energetic exchange. Again, we're talking about money. We're talking about energy and energy exchange. So I think also, like, reach in your bag and think about the skills and the you know, things that you've done in the past, jobs that you've worked, you know, what type of skills and abilities do you have that you can also bring to the table in exchange for certain things? You know, I've done consulting exchanges to rent out studio space to record videos, right? There's so many ways that you can barter resources, you know, and be resourceful and think about the people that are around you and offer something of yourself so that you can also receive. Not saying that it needs to be that every time. Sometimes you could just ask because you just need and you need to receive. But also, like, I really like to think about everything I do in mutual beneficial terms. Let me give something.
She's very much.
Listen, and so are you. And I want to touch on what you said about, you know, having a plan. Because in 2017, you know, well before I quit my job, 2 years prior, I had written out a list of 10 goals I had over the course of 3 years and the things that I was going to do and accomplish over that period of time. So I was very clear about what I needed to do and what I needed to accomplish, which enabled me to know exactly where I was going. So clarity, right? Knowing where I was going and knowing what I needed to do to get there. And the same is true for numbers. If I think to myself, okay, by this age, I wanna be a multimillionaire, I have to think to myself, what do I need to do to put myself in that position? Like, if I wanna make 100,000, how many products, how many units of this thing do I have to sell? How many units of this thing do I have to sell? How many brand partnerships would I need? Blah, 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 blah. I really think about it and break it down to that level of like, okay, this is the goal. And then you can take that down. If this is your year goal, take it down to a quarterly goal. Take it down to a monthly goal. This is, I want to, and even just starting, I want to make $1,000 this month off of my entrepreneurship business. Okay, that's a great goal, even $500. What do you need to do and how many classes do you need to teach, right? And then being able to, like you said, observe, okay, I'm going to try to make $500 a month. How many classes, da, da, da. And then after that's done, then you can analyze and see, okay, I had to teach this many classes, or I actually made more than I thought. And you can adjust so that you can finally get into a sweet spot and a flow where you know, okay, if I do these things, this is the result. And so now if I'm ready to want more, I know that this is how much more effort, energy, et cetera, I have to put in if this is the result that I want. Manifestation is not just sitting down doing affirmations. It is a whole lot more than that. Yes, there is a mindset aspect. Yes, there's a spiritual aspect to it. However, there's a very practical aspect that requires strategy and action. And you have to be willing to do those things as well if you want to see those results.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Like, I think people have romanticized entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Right? The romanticization, right? Like,
listen,
oh, you get to work wherever you want, live wherever you want, do whatever. Like, y'all need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Real shit.
It's not true for many people, for most people. Like, I'm one of those people it's true for, but I want to tell you I have a strategy, right?
Right.
I have goals.
And you put in the work. Right? You put in the work.
I put in the work. It's not just a matter of like, oh, I just wake up every day. I go to the beach and I get online. You know, whatever they sell you, it's
girl,
not true.
It ain't.
I get rejected every single day. I want to tell you about two to three times a week from investors, right? Because I try to raise millions of dollars. Okay,
come on.
I'm not asking people for thousands of dollars. I really ask people for millions of dollars because I plan on taking over the world
come on
with my business. Okay?
Let's go.
My business will be a franchise. So there's things that I'm planning that's 10 years in advance. There's different loops and holes of my business that I'm breaking down.
Come
and
on.
When people sit and talk to me and they ask me for my numbers, they ask me for my plan, my business plan, they ask me for my pitch deck, they ask me all the things and languages that many of you guys don't know, that you just find out that you have to learn.
Yes.
You put yourself in a position to lack and suffer. Lack comes in a form of education too.
Yes, it does.
You need to educate yourself properly.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's really important that you, because I feel like people don't understand that connection with finances. Finances and properly being educated, that when someone actually show interest in giving you a meeting that has a lot of money, you can tell them where that money's gonna go, how much you're gonna get in a month, how much you're gonna get in a year, what it looks like if you have a bad day. And now that there's a pandemic, I've had to create an insurance for my business because there's been pandemic. So if that ever happens again, what does that look like for my investors' money?
Right. Right.
You have to be in a position in life now where you are educating yourself. You have that form of information.
Come on.
To not lack it.
Listen.
When you are an educated person, abundance comes also.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? And that I don't mean just by the books. I mean learning. Learning the things that you need to know. Learning and really understanding your business. What is it that I really want to do with my business? Where do I want it to grow?
Yes.
Like she was saying, how much do I want to make this month? Every?
No. My bad. Phone died. You was in flow and everything.
I couldn't even see anyone. I was like, oh my guys, this is Angie's live.
But yeah, you were talking about, just to come back, you were talking about like that you get rejected often, you know, with the investors and your big dreams. And so continue on.
Absolutely. I get rejected often from investors, all the time, not really believing the vision, not really understanding, but I need to know my business very well. I need to tell them, hey, if you give me this million of dollar, whatever that number is, this is where 10% is gonna go, 20% is gonna go, 30% is gonna go, 40%. And then this is what it's going to look like when we make what we make. And then this is where I'm gonna take that money and put it. So there's a lot of people, as we were mentioning before, that literally romanticize the idea of entrepreneurship without having a plan.
Right.
There's a reason why you need a business plan. There is a reason why people ask you, what's your revenue? There's a reason why people ask you, hey, where do you see your business in 5 years? You know, is this a LLC? Is this a corporation? Is this an S corp? What style and what kind of business are you trying to actually run? If you don't know these details about your business, then you don't know your business.
Yes.
And that is also coming from what I like to call a lack place, right? Because you don't really know. And that's why education is important. Learning from people like you, right?
Come on.
People like you are creating classes and education. I mean, I remember when you started and you were like, I believe in this. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And you were like, if anyone would like to donate to this, this is how I'm starting, but I'm taking care of people of color and like black businesses, and I'm gonna teach them kinetic yoga. I'm gonna really be about this life.
Yes.
And you've been about this life. And I'm 100% sure and know personally that it hasn't been easy for you, but you've had to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what stops a lot of people, just like we were talking about money. People do not know how to ask for help.
Yeah.
People do not know that it's okay to not know what they don't know, as long as they are willing to learn.
Let's talk about investing in education, investing in somebody who can help you. Because, you know, as you know, and as you mentioned, I offer a mentorship program where I teach people about business and entrepreneurship.
Mentorship program. I have so so many of your amazing students that show so much love to me because of you. Like, they're your stuff is amazing.
Thank you, sis.
So you should join.
You definitely should join. The round 10 is live and active. The application's in the link in bio, but people have to, and I've spoken to people about this, and they have to go through their mental barriers to realize that there's a difference between spending and investing.
Right.
There is a difference between spending money and investing money. When you invest, you are receiving something in return. And I think that y'all need to understand and exercise more your investment power instead of your spending power. It's okay to buy yourself it's okay to go to Starbucks and to do all that shit. And I know that there's value in that, and that it could help you feel good and you get in, maybe your work cafe work vibes. Okay. You know, I get it. At the same time though, you know, when you say you don't have money for X, is it that you really don't have money for that? Like really, really don't have money for that? Or is it that you have decided to spend your money and put your money elsewhere, and so now it's not available to you where it can actually give you a return? And so I think it's really important for us to shift our mentality into investment power, because when you invest in somebody who can support, who can assist, who can help you shift your mindset, who can help you expand your business, who can help you be strategic about your approach and help you so that you really, really understand all of the things that Yumi just talked about. Get clear on your vision, understand your business, you know, figure out exactly what you want to make and how you're going to make it, and have full literacy over your business. It changes everything, because then you're in full control and you're not in a space where you feel like shit's just happening around you and you're swaying left and right. You're clear, you're focused, you're centered, you're on the path. And so everything is intentional. And so I think it's really important to understand the difference once again between spending and investing, and to get through whatever mental barriers or blocks you may have so that you can help yourself help yourself. Like Yumi said earlier, how are you participating in your own suffering? Does it really make sense to really try to continue to figure this out on your own for the next 2 years when the landscape will have already shifted so much and you'll have had to learn so many more things to even be at a level at that place? Or does it make more sense to invest somebody who can help shorten the learning curve for you so you can be ahead of things? And I think this is just huge, especially for the Black community. We have to understand more and be more willing to invest and put money towards something that that can give us a return on a different level. Because when we have the clarity, when we have confidence, when we have the vision, all those things locked in, it tremendously increases your ability to attract abundance. Because you're not operating out of a space of lack. You don't, you know?
Yeah, like you were saying earlier, like, guys, practical steps on how to actually work for your business and be able to be successful and really invest. Finding a genuine mentorship space like Angie's is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Having a really great coach like Angie is number two. Every business that you often go to and support, whether it is Starbucks, Walmart, whatever it is that you go shop at often, have invested. These people have invested in people that know what they're doing to get what you want to do.
Come on.
And I don't think enough people talk about that enough, because like we were saying before the live was shortened, people romanticize entrepreneurship. It is an incredibly lonely thing.
Listen.
Being an entrepreneur is extremely lonely. It can feel very like, what the hell am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Do I know what I'm doing? It can feel very exhausting.
Figuring it out as you go, all the time.
All the money you get in goes right back out. You know what I'm saying? So it's really important that you find, you invest in your business that way. Every time you go to a Starbucks, let me tell you, for the first 2.5 years of my business, I worked out of a library. My favorite place in the world.
Come on.
Because one, it prevented me from spending money. Because I had to save money for my business.
Come on.
There's a time and place for everything. Listen, you can catch me at a cafe all day now. I have it to do
it. You better get that library card is what she's saying.
A library card in New York City especially. Come gives on. You a lot of special things. Okay? Because I have it, and I know they have great ones in LA. in New York City, a library card offers you free LinkedIn learning. A library card gives you free access to like legit Liberians, that actually know about where in your town and what whether you're a woman of color or not, grants that yes. you can go and get to immediately.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying? You need to understand there needs to be priorities when it comes to your business, not ego.
Listen.
Priority over ego.
Listen.
Okay. How do I make this successful? What is my goal for this month? And listen, you don't have to be someone that writes everything down, but you have to be someone that is accountable.
Come on.
And the way to hold yourself accountable is by asking yourself questions and answering them.
Yes.
What do I want to do with my business? What is my goal for my business? How much do I want to make this month? Last month, I didn't make my goals. Why was that? Mm-hmm. How do I upgrade my marketing service? Mm-hmm. Who do I see that's doing something well, marketing-wise that I can learn from?
Yes.
How am I able to do this right? These are the questions that you need to ask yourself, because everything else will come from a lack of education, lack space. And when you move in lack, abundance can't find you the way it wants to, because you're moving in a certain way that you feel like you know everything. You won't invest financially properly. You won't ask for help.
DIY queens out here.
Right. Like me, there's a lot of people that are really gifted at doing multiple things at the same time. They'll design it, they'll build it, they'll write it, they'll do it. I'm not one of those people yet. You're one of those people.
But if I wasn't, I would be hiring somebody who could.
What? I am the queen of delegation, honey.
Listen.
What?
Come on.
Outsourcing everyone, okay? You cannot outsource without money, though. So that Starbucks coffee that's costing you, what, $7 now? Every day?
Listen.
If you're working every day at that cafe just getting the coffee, for example.
I'm going to give y'all a hack. I'm going to give y'all a hack real quick.
Give them a hack.
Bring a tea bag and ask for a cup of hot water, bitch. And sit your ass down like you done paid for a regular degular coffee. And they ain't gonna, I bet they ain't gonna kick you out. Listen. Every time I'm in the airport, I do the same thing.
They will not.
They will not.
One of the biggest things that I learned from a millionaire. One of my goals, obviously, is to be a multi-millionaire, soon a billionaire. And I noticed for a long time, I didn't have any millionaires on my phone. That bothered me. So I was like, I need to know a millionaire. And I need to know a millionaire where I can contact him or her. You understand what
yes.
I'm saying? It wasn't going to be about asking for money. I now have 4 millionaires on my phone.
Come on.
So when I have certain things in my head, when I have certain moments where I'm not sure what's going on, I send a text like, hey, and I have them in different places and different businesses. They're not all in my business. They're not all in health and wellness and travel.
Yes.
They're in every different places because I learn from people that's not in the same type of business as I.
Come
How
on.
Do I grow if I'm not learning from those people?
Yes.
So it's really important that you put yourself in positions
yes.
where you can learn and be around these people.
Yes.
Having communities, having workshops and stuff that Angie is doing puts you in that community, because I'm telling you
yes.
right now, your biggest allies will be the people that you grow with.
Yes.
They will
Woo.
Steve Jobs, Microsoft dude, Bill Gates,
come on.
Elon Musk, all of them know each other. They all can be competing all they want, but they all knew each other or have known each other. And if you've ever heard in conversation where people are like, oh, yeah, I know Jobs. Yeah, he's at Apple. He's trying to do some things right now. That was probably what Bill Gates was saying. And people, yeah, in the outside world, like making them compete, they're not that. In fact, they ask each other for advice.
Yes.
Did you see how well I did here?
Listen. Listen.
Is in the real world for people that are focused on being multimillionaires.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put yourself in positions in life where you learn from people that are doing the things that you're doing.
Or bigger and better. Yes.
Yes. very well. And you have to, and that's what we were talking about earlier. You cannot go into a state of mind in a place where you think it has to be you. I have to do it alone. I'm the one that's going to do it for my family by myself.
Right.
There is no by myself. There is no me. Yes. There is no self-made. Everyone is set up where they are supported by someone.
Correct.
And the faster you recognize that, the easier it will be. Angie knows lots of people. And she offers so many free information for you guys. But so many of you guys have been following her. And you still have not donated? And you still have not went and get a coaching session with her? You're taking all this. There's a lot of people that consume but won't go the next step.
Yes.
Come on. Business owners and people that want to leave go to the next step.
Yes.
Not calling anybody out. So if you feel if you feel offended, well, that's on you. I don't know you.
Real shit. Real shit. And you know, and it's okay to and it's okay to surround yourself virtually, right? If you don't have access to that right away, it's okay to surround yourself virtually with people you admire. It's okay to be listening to audiobooks and have that person in your ear, right? It's okay to figure out other ways to build mentors, but at some point you do have to make the choice. There's been many times in my life and specifically during my role of entrepreneurship that I've had to invest heavily in my business in order to really see growth and expansion. And it wasn't going to happen. Yeah, I could have tried to figure it out. Yeah, I could have like spent the extra time and energy, but that's not where I'm best of service to my business, right? I am of best service to my business when I can take a step back, look at the bigger vision, and then start thinking about things that need to be put into action. And then I delegate. And I have now the ability to be able to invest in people who can help me get that vision accomplished. And so now we're all, and here's the other thing about this too. And Erin's in here. She was in my mentorship program too. And the B school. When you're in that space too, you're creating abundance for other people. And so you receive what you give. So if I'm paying my assistant, I'm paying my advertising marketing dude, they're getting money. They're helping me make money. Everybody's working together and everybody's flourishing and prospering from that. It's not, again, it's not spending. It's investing in a person, investing in their skills, just like somebody invests and pays you when they come to a yoga class. That is not an expense. That is an investment. Right. And so this is, again, a mindset shift that I think is really important for us to have as we're looking at, okay, well, what do I need to do to be successful?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I think that earlier, if you were here, we was talking about like lack looks in different ways. It lives in different spaces, whether it's your love life, your financial life, and business, etc. It's important that you really look at your life because your life is your resume. Mm-hmm. And if there's things that are off and you want to take off your resume, there's certain level of work, certain level of investment that you're going to have to do to clear that resume, mm-hmm. and change that resume and do certain things about that resume. And it's really important that you do. Connect yourself with people that are really doing it, that are about that life, that are authentic, that are consistent about who they are and what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one last thing I would say about the lack to abundance mindset is to understand that it is not a straight road, right? Like, it's not linear.
Yeah.
To get into the mindset of abundance is a daily practice.
Yes. Come on.
There are days that you feel like, yo, I got this, honey. Tomorrow I'm becoming the billionaire that I am. Okay?
Listen.
Then the next day, you're like, oh my God, how am I going to pay my rent? Why did I do this to myself? You go into that mindset. It is not linear. Success isn't linear. You have to be okay with not knowing so that you can ask for help.
Yes.
I cannot stress that enough because there is such a big thing about people resisting help.
Yes.
You ask God for things. You ask the universe for things. You're like, yo, can you just give me a sign? Your sign may be ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And you're ignoring it because you're recognizing, you're like, that's too much for me, Lord. Ask for help.
Right.
I am. I'm like, And God's like, well, this person knows this person. If you just ask him, that will align you immediately.
What they say, closed mouths don't get fed, right? You know? And you really like, this is something I've been watching, the Genius Kanye documentary. I'm not a huge Kanye fan, like by any means, but however, I'm a student of the game. So I observe everybody. So I'm watching and I'm seeing that he was incredibly resourceful. He believed more in himself than anybody else did. And he shot every shot. Like when a big artist is getting ready to leave the studio from recording, he's like, yo, let me spit something for you real quick. And now all of a sudden you're on a song that you wouldn't have been on if you didn't just shoot your shot and put yourself out there. This is so, so important. And this is the same as asking for help or putting yourself out there. You got to speak about what you do. You got to talk about what you're about. You can't just expect that you know, in a grocery store and you talking, chopping up with somebody and that they know that you're an amazing yoga teacher. You got to put that shit out there. You know, you got to really believe in yourself and what you do. You got to speak it, literally. So that people and the right connections can happen and form so that you can be in that flow. And if you're not...
Even if someone tells you no now, it does not mean they won't say yes later.
That's right.
There's so many of us that live in a microwave world, right? Yes. Like pop it in, pop it out. Yes. I want this now, I want that type of thing now. But the more people hear that that's what you do, the more they keep you in mind. So that when an opportunity comes that they can give you, they're like, what's that girl?
Yes.
Get Angie. She be teaching people right with the schematic yoga. And
man.
That's how it happens.
Yes.
And so many of you want instant gratification. You don't want the long haul. Like, you really, success is a long thing.
It's a crock pot, baby. It's a crock pot on low. It ain't the microwave.
Exactly. It's not that type of vibe where you're just like, okay, like, I get one opportunity, I'm made. It is consistent. It's like, you ever seen, you know, artists, they make one hit single and they're gone? That's not success to them.
No.
You understand what I'm saying? That's a one-hit wonder.
Right.
Right? Success has to last, which means there's a level of work ethic you need to have. There's a level of ability to start over, of pivoting, learning what it means to pivot your business.
Yes.
And learning what it looks like when you are doing well. And what did I do well that's making me successful in this area?
Right.
Learning that about yourself so that when you go to people and start asking for large sum of money so that they can invest in your business, or you go to banks and ask for loans, you can show that you know what you're talking about. Because there's too many of us that do believe in ourselves but don't have the education to back it up.
Come on.
And education is just as important in that form, especially when you want long success.
Yes.
Many of you guys are looking to change the wealth gap, period, and like change whatever happened in your family, change, you know, break generational curses and, you know, any form of lack in your family. The way to do that is by playing the long game.
Long game.
Constantly just taking in, and you're just like, you know what, let me just do this real quick, and that's gonna make me a quick money. Let me just put this thing out real quick. If like, you're copying and pasting so many other people's success, and you can't even find yours.
Come on.
Figure out what your success looks like. Figure out what success looks like on you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be the copy and paste of other people and thinking that that's what it needs to be for you.
Come on.
Many of you guys continue to fail because you're looking at her when you need to look at her.
Yes. Yes.
What does that look like for me?
Yes.
Do I really want to? Am I someone that wants to sell courses?
Right.
You know how many people ask me to sell courses? Oh, you need to sell courses. No. You know what I did? I did two specific ones. And one main one was focused on mantra mindset and all that stuff of yoga. And that changed my life with the way that I did business. Because for a long time, it would have been really easy for me to have continue to do courses on my own. And the other one that I did was for a limited time. I charged them for that. I said, this is going to last on your site for this amount of time, and I'm going to take this back because it's mine, my intellectual property.
Come on.
How did I know that? How did I know that? I educated myself on what intellectual property is with business. Many of you guys are doing courses, putting it online so that people can copy it and paste it and then just do it themselves. You have to learn the business.
Come on.
In order to really be successful. And just because people tell you you're good at something doesn't mean you should do it.
Come on.
Do what you know you're supposed to be doing. Provide what you know you should be providing for people in this world, and your success will be inevitable. Because let me just be clear, your success is inevitable. You just have to tap into it.
Yes.
Don't be the copy and paste of anyone else. Submit to other people's ways of like really teaching you in different ways. Like I said, Angie, you want to go and find someone like her that's really teaching, that's learning, and that actually cares about the community, that actually cares about the courses, and like she cares, right? So if you call her one day and you're like, oh, I'm really struggling, she's not gonna be like, well, you paid for your course, so
never. Never.
People don't do that, guys.
I know.
Money thing for them. And if you're about that, you're not gonna, that's so lack mindset. It's not abundance mindset. Let me tell you, abundance overflow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means. Mm-hmm. It's an overflow.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you have more than enough. It Come is on. Consistently coming to you.
Let's go.
And if you're living in a space where you just want this and that's it, then get your courses.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you have to teach courses. Get into the mind frame that you are deserving and worthy of investing in yourself.
Yes. Woo! You know? We're going to stop right there. You know, and I got a team meeting speaking of support and investment. So I appreciate y'all. This was incredibly beautiful. Yumi, you spit mad game just like you always do. This will be a podcast for the books, trust and believe. So after we finish here, if you're listening on IG, you can catch it on the podcast. If you're on the podcast, thank you so much for listening. Yumi, you're amazing. I'm so incredibly grateful for your time and energy and your presence and your wisdom. So if you came today, thank you. Yes, follow Flex and Fly Official, Afro Yoga by Angie. We in the building. Much love to all of y'all. I'll see y'all soon.
Peace. Love you, Angie.
Bye. Love you too, boo.
Ha ha ha.